for all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But Dad, school pictures are today.
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, Dupaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all Dupaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through Dupaco's online banking or app. Not a Dupaco member? Join today in branch or online at dupaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
The thought of winter coming can be chilling. Knee-deep snow, face-numbing winds, frozen fingers, temperatures below zero. And yet, without a Duralast car battery, it could be even worse. That's why Duralast batteries are tested to perform in harsh conditions. So even if it's 40 below zero, your car can start up like it's 72 and sunny. Duralast, proven tough and only at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
So this house is in a great neighborhood and walking distance from one of the best schools.
And what are they asking?
The asking price is only 24 years of really, really hard work.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Well, the house across the road just sold for a few years more.
While other insurance companies just see a house, we see the home you've worked really hard for, so why not give it the protection it deserves?
Tell you what, why don't we offer 23 years with a fast close?
We're gonna need to sleep on it.
Yeah.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
The Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on. NASCAR News now.
So it seems we have our first rivalry of the 2018 NASCAR season, and cars haven't even hit the racetrack yet to race. It's between Kyle Busch and Ryan Blaney, and the topic is NASCAR promoting heavily the young drivers coming up in the sport. Kyle said, quote, "All you're doing is advertising all these younger guys for fans to figure out and pick up on and choose as their favorite driver. I think it's stupid. I don't know. I'm not the marketing genius that's behind this, so I just do what I do, and my part of it is what my part is," end quote. And then you've got Ryan Blaney's side of things, who said, quote, "I can tell you personally that Busch doesn't like doing a lot of this stuff, so that's why they don't ask him to do a lot of stuff. That kind of made me upset how he bashed that part of it. To each his own. If he doesn't want to do anything, so be it." All right, let's get Jimmy Johnson's game plan for the 2018 NASCAR season.
With all the changes going on internally at Hendrick Motorsports, the debut of the new Camaro for us, I think we're just going to have a better product on the. I know we're going to have a better product on the racetrack. In order to capitalize on all those points, you've got to start towards the front. I've made a great career out of winning from deep in the field or the back, but the way these points work, that's just not the case. We need to qualify better. We definitely tried last year, just unfortunately couldn't get there. And I feel that this year we'll have a better product, and I should be able to start closer to the front and make that a lot easier.
The Final Lap.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Thanks to you, Ace was awarded its 11th straight J.D. Power Award for customer satisfaction with home improvement retail stores. To say thanks, we're giving you 20% off throughout the store. And as always, the help is free. So hurry into your local Ace and save 20% on select items this Friday through Sunday only. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only at participating stores. Additional conditions and exclusions apply. See store for details. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
5:06, welcome back, and welcome to hour number 2 of 3, the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann, with you until 7 o'clock tonight on 1600 AM, the historic main gym frequency, also found on the FM side of things at 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 here in Cedar Rapids. Lots more to get to today. Scott Dochterman from the landof10.com will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk transparency, Hawkeyes, Huskers, and more with Scott. Ben Neiman, the former Iowa linebacker, set to kick off hour number three tonight as well inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Right now, it's Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire, not to be confused with The Drive, hosted by Jack Ebling in the state of Michigan. I don't want to confuse our next guest, Matt Charbonneau, the Detroit News, joining us to talk about what's going on at Michigan State and in East Lansing. And Matt, I know you're very busy. You and your colleagues are probably doing the best that you can to keep up with all of the developments, but I just want your take, your initial take as an observer of Michigan State athletics about how we got to this point.
Oh, how much time do you have?
all the time in the world.
How we got to this point is that's a long, long story. I mean, we're talking about a doctor, former doctor now, Larry Nassar, who was has been connected to this university in some manner or fashion going back to the early 90s. And in a report that we had last week, as far back as 1997, the first time somebody said anything to anybody at Michigan State about the treatment, or the so-called treatment he was using for a lot of these young girls, most of them gymnasts. That person way back then was the gymnastics coach who, since then, Kathy Klages is her name, was suspended last year and then retired the next day. So this is many, many years of this going on. What has come out basically since then and where this is bad for Michigan State is the idea, or that the impression that many people there tried to brush this aside and make it go away. We had 14 different people at this university that knew about or had heard about or been given complaints about Larry Nassar before the original media reports came out, and nothing had happened. So it's many years, many people of looking the other way, it appears, that got us to the point we're at now. Obviously, that doctor was sentenced this week to up to 175 years in prison. The victim statements were really amazing to hear over the last, it went through about 6-7 days of hearing those things, over 150 different girls. Now, in terms of Michigan State's connection, it's a little still unclear, but maybe roughly a dozen of those were Michigan State students or student athletes. But he was employed by the MSU Department of Osteopathic Medicine, so they are clearly in the mix in this, and of course has resulted in resignations of the president on Wednesday and athletic director Mark Hollis today. So it's taken a long time to get here, but it's all coming out pretty fast at this point.
Now, the Outside the Lines report today talked about the, at least within the athletic department, the culture of it seems, at least on the surface, that athletes were given special treatment, and the athletic department at least investigated any type of sexual misconduct within that had to do with their athletes. My question is, you mentioned Luanna Simon resigning as the president. How is her resignation statement being received by the community? As I think she said that this whole thing has been politicized.
Yeah, it's not being received very well, because it's coming across as someone who's not really accepting any blame, but just saying the political pressure has forced her to resign, which I think is, especially for the victims, but not just the victims, a lot of people associated with this university, has really angered them, frustrated them. I think so many people associated with this place want to hear somebody say, look, I didn't do this right. I screwed up. I have some responsibility here. Instead, this has been an ongoing case of the impression that is given is that Michigan State has cared more about the brand than about the people involved. It has just seemed from one person after the other who speaks that it's about protecting the university, and to heck with any of the people that may or may not have been victims. And that's been very difficult for people to hear. So when she resigned and then that makes her statement that, there's a lot of anger and frustration there. To think that this was politically motivated, I think, is absurd. And that's, you know, there's been a lot of blowback to that, obviously. But, in the ESPN report, it's obviously goes back a ways. There's not a whole lot of context in terms of, you know, are some of the things we've seen, you know, are they extraordinary? For instance, Mark D'Antonio says in 2007 there's been 16 reports of assaults or violence toward women in that time, but we don't know. Is that an extraordinary number? It's, now, none of this is to absolve Michigan State or to get them off the hook by any stretch. So when I say everything's coming quickly, that stuff's coming quickly, too. There's the stuff with the basketball program. You know, I'm not sure how much they didn't follow policy at the time, but I think at the very least we're finding out that their policy wasn't very good. There wasn't much transparency there. You didn't really have an idea of how things were being handled. So in all of this, Michigan State at the very beginning is egregiously guilty of having no transparency and not really handling any of these issues the way that you're supposed to. So where it goes from here is unclear, but I think most people would agree this university needs to have a complete new, fresh approach on this, have much more transparency of how they're handling it, because to this point, it hasn't been there at all.
Now, I want to go back to June. Mark D'Antonio was addressing the media, and he was asked about how he had dealt with, and to give some context, he was talking about the two different sexual assault accusations against four of his players, and he said that he had never really dealt with this type of thing in the last 11 years, or in his 11 years on campus. Do we now know that that is false?
Well, for the most part, yeah. You know, you can maybe couch some words. You know, one I know for sure and that we reported for sure was Keith Mumphrey, a former receiver who was accused of sexual assault. Now, when that happened, he was technically a former player. So if you want to dance around the words and say you didn't deal with it with a current player, I guess you can do that. Now, in some of these other cases, even the ESPN report said it, they're not real clear on how much D'Antonio knew about those things. But there's at least one other case where it says he tried to intervene and have the player just talk with his mom about it, which seems ridiculous. But that case right there by itself shows that he clearly has dealt with this before, you know, the most recent incidents. So it's hard to come to any other conclusion, to be honest with you, when he stood up there in June and said those things. So, you know, what this means for him, it's hard to say. I mean, he's out recruiting today, but can that change rapidly? I don't know. When you're talking about Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo around here, those are pretty iconic figures. But I think as we've seen in all this stuff, I don't think there's any level to which this can't reach and which it can't affect someone's, certainly their job status or their future, anything like that. So this is something that we're certainly not done with today, and we'll probably continue to be evolving here in the next few days and beyond.
Matt Charbonneau with us from the Detroit News, discussing the most recent developments, the fallout from the Larry Nassar case. And today, the ESPN report, which you've referenced a couple times, bringing football and basketball into the mix. Mark D'Antonio 2 years ago was very much on a hot seat, and then last year sort of redeemed himself. Does this put him right back into that hot seat? And there are some people out there that don't think he even makes it through this.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's obvious. And the hot seat has nothing to do with how your team is doing at this point. I think the people that think he doesn't make it through this, if he doesn't make it through this, I think we find that out pretty quickly. Because, you know, when you relate it to, say, Mark Collis, the athletic director, there's pretty strong evidence that he really did not know a lot about what was going on with Larry Nassar before the initial media reports. But that doesn't matter. He's in charge of the athletic department. It's his operation, and anything that happens on his watch, he's ultimately responsible for. And I think the same goes for Mark D'Antonio and the football program. If these things are happening, even if maybe you didn't know every detail, it's still this is your deal. You're in charge. So I think he's absolutely on the hot seat. I'm not so sure on field or, you know, wins or losses has a whole lot to do with that at this point. I think even if they just came off an undefeated national championship, he'd be in the same spot right now. So until we get a little clearer idea of exactly what he knew, exactly what happened, I think you got to sit here and wonder, what is his immediate future with this university?
And then on the flip side, Michigan State's got a basketball game tonight at the Breslin Center against Wisconsin. How uncomfortable does that post-game news conference with Tom Izzo get this evening?
Yeah, it could get interesting. I'm about to walk in there now. To say having a basketball game and all this is a bit odd. I think the whole student section, there's a student march here tonight. They're planning on wearing teal, all of them. Teal's the color of to support sexual abuse victims. So we're going to see that tonight. The basketball game is beyond secondary. So the post game, I can't imagine what it's going to be. I mean, Tom Izzo was supportive of President Simon last week, and he and Mark Hollis were very, very good friends going way back. I mean, they were roommates at one point here when Tom was a grad assistant under Judd Heathcote. So I can imagine he's got some strong opinions on that. Whether he'll talk about the ESPN report, I'm not sure. But I can't imagine a whole lot of the post-game press conference is going to be on, you know, points and rebounds tonight against Wisconsin.
Matt, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today to discuss this, and we'll let you get situated at the Breslin Center. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News. He's been with us before talking about slightly more pleasant subjects when it comes to Michigan State, but you've got Mark D'Antonio, you've got Tom Izzo. D'Antonio almost certainly isn't going to survive this.
I 100% agree.
And I thought it was interesting that Matt said both of them are sort of iconic characters there, because you look at Mark D'Antonio, I don't know if I would put him in that echelon.
Not Tom Izzo's echelon, but he's Michigan one step
State,
down.
Michigan State football has not experienced a ton of success in the last couple decades except under Mark D'Antonio's watch. So, yes. Now, there were a lot of folks who wanted to get rid of him 2 years ago when they won three games. Last year, you could make the argument that they were the biggest surprise in the Big Ten because they rebounded very well. And all of that is for naught at this point, as it should be, because this is bigger than football. But to me, where this really gets interesting is how much does Tom Izzo get embroiled in this? Because that's an icon. That is a guy who, if this situation has a paterno, if you will, he's that figure. Now, this is all, again, a branch from the trunk that is the Larry Nassar case. He technically was a doctor at Michigan State in the osteopathy department right now. Mark Hollis, the AD who stepped down today, who, it should be pointed out, when Jim Delaney is retiring in the near future, Mark Hollis's name was being thrown around by some people as a possible replacement for Jim Delaney as the commissioner of the Big Ten. That's how well-regarded and respected Mark Hollis is. And today, it's in crumbs. I mean, it's shattered. And you look at this and you go, yeah, I probably don't have a whole lot of sympathy for the guy. He claims that he's never met Larry Nassar. And that may be the truth, but you don't have to meet somebody to have them ultimately bring you down. And that's what happened here, because whether or not he knew a whole lot of what was going on, folks there did, and he's the captain of the ship.
How is that relevant at all? Why does he think that would somehow absolve him from something? And as Matt Charbonneau just said, it makes no difference whether he met Larry Nassar or not. It happened under his watch, and they knew about it. They had claims of him violating girls all the way back to 1997. He was tried on it at first, and he, one of his prodigies, one of his understudies, a doctor, the name escapes me at this point, basically corroborated his story, that was saying that the victims of this didn't understand the quote nuances of the treatment that Larry Nassar was giving these people. So it's sickening to even think about. With Tom Izzo, it's going to get interesting, because some of the names that have emerged and are implicated in this ESPN story,
they're not walk-ons. They're not guys at the end of the bench.
Keith Appling and Adrian Payne, remember those names? Well, apparently, they were involved. They were accused of being involved in an incident where they raped a woman their freshman year on campus, their first couple weeks on campus. And there were protests about it. And I just thought to myself, how did that not get out. That was not a national story at all. It was covered locally a little bit, but that never really was on anybody's radar until right now.
This should be a lesson for people moving forward who are in these positions. If your first inclination is to try to keep this in-house, you're going about things the wrong way. And I go back a number of times over the last couple weeks in listening to this, and I think back, and it's hard not to recall what happened with Pierre Pierce at the University of Iowa. It feels like eons ago, and it has been a while, but in the grand scheme of things, not a whole lot. And you had an individual with close ties to the athletic department whose idea of handling this was to encourage the first victim to come together and pray about it. Yeah. No. But we can handle this. We can handle this inside the walls of Carver-Hawkeye Arena. And of course, now, in hindsight, we all remember how that played out. And Steve Alford was behind Pierre Pierce and eventually brought him back to the program. And it wasn't the first assault, the first instance, that led to Pierre Pierce no longer being with the program. He should have never been able to come back and rejoin the program in the first place. And I think about if that story happened now in 2018 with Deadspin and national media and social media, Iowa got a major black eye from that situation. But it is so, so small compared to how that would have played today. And it just, you think, okay, Iowa's got an instance, and you can probably look at other schools and find instances. This is not unique to Penn State or Michigan State. The gravity, the scope is, because not everybody has a Jerry Sandusky, not everybody has a Larry Nassar. But you look at a lot of college campuses, unfortunately, there are a lot of athletes that have been accused of doing, and Minnesota comes to mind. We were just talking about them a couple weeks ago with Reggie Lynch.
See,
and that's what's really sad about the whole thing is this is just so common that people just sort of shrug it off. Yeah, it happens all the time.
And it's not changing. Nothing's changing. That's the scary part to me. When you hear of all of these events, you hear the way that these things are swept under the rug and how much punishment. And like I said, throwing human decency aside, because it's clear that that lacks in people in this case lack in that department. They don't want to do the right thing. But even the threat of the punishment that Penn State and Baylor and the public shaming that all of those schools went through doesn't seem like much is changing. Schools still continue to do this.
Not to completely change gears here, but we're up against a break, so we need to get out here shortly. But I do want to pass along a note. We found out that we've got a nice giveaway for folks next week on the program. If you want to see Avenged Sevenfold at the U.S. Cellular Center, they've got an upcoming concert. Tickets are extremely hard to get for this. We're going to have tickets all week on the program next week. So tickets to see Avenged Sevenfold at the U.S. Cellular Center. That'll be your prize for listening to us next week. I hate to say that we're bribing our listeners by trying to get them to keep listening by giving them great tickets like these. But, you know, hey, let's call a spade a spade. Speaking of giveaways, we've got one more $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. That's going to be somebody's to take home with them before 7 o'clock tonight. Scott Docterman from thelandat10.com joining us in a few minutes. We'll have former Iowa linebacker Ben Neiman. And he kicks off hour number three, along with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. It is drive time, driven by Linder Tire. Check them out online, LinderTire.com. Right now you can find great specials and online rebates on sets of four tires. Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Visit them in person in Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City. Back after this.
In 1940s America, it was common for several generations to reside under the same roof. Grandparents, parents, and children, all sharing traditions and learning from each other. There was a simple beauty to this kind of living. And while it isn't common anymore, at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, three generations still share one ring. The Dickens family history at Hertin and Stocker began when Willow was a simple watchmaker. He went on to own the business and raised his sons Terry and Tim alongside him in the store. Now Terry's daughter Kate has joined the family at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. She brings her contemporary sensibility and fresh ideas to the jewelry cases while carrying on the heritage of service and understanding she grew up with. Kate is the most recent chapter in the ongoing story of Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Come see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, and now Kate. One of them is always there.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Welcome back in. Again, a big thank you to everybody who joined us for the KGYM road trip at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road last night. We were there. We had a great time. Food was great. The drinks were cold. Everybody, Anthony and Marion came out. First time we've ever gotten to meet Anthony.
It's great to meet Anthony.
BJ and Marion was there. I think there were a couple other people that looked like listeners, but they looked a little hesitant to come up to us afterwards. And I'll just tell you this right now. If you come out and you want to stop and you want to talk Hawks or Cyclones or Packers, or Cubs, whatever, do it. I mean, that's what we're out there for. That's what I'm out there for. Come up to me afterwards. Otherwise, you're giving me strange looks, and all I can think of is Tony Soprano in the diner scene, and I'm looking, are you wearing a members-only jacket? So I know the look, and sometimes it's, hey, I want to come up and talk to you, and sometimes it's, hey, I'm not a big fan of yours. Come up and say something one way or the other. But it was fun last night, and without getting into too many details moving forward, I think we're going to be doing it again relatively soon, sometime this spring. 528, let's send it over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Hawkeye women put an end to their three-game skid in a pretty big way last night, upsetting number 12 Ohio State 103-89. The Buckeyes came in as the Big Ten's highest-ranked team, but the Hawkeyes controlled the game from start to finish. Megan Gustafson led with a game-high 29 points. Kathleen Doyle had 25 with 11 assists. Chase Coley had 12 points and 11 rebounds, and Mackenzie Meyer had 18 points on 4 of 6 from distance in her second game back from a hand injury. The University of Iowa Sports Information released a statement this morning regarding Fran McCaffrey's extension, calling it fair and equitable to the marketplace, and also mentioned that McCaffrey has had multiple opportunities to leave, but it's clear he wants to stay. Regarding the buyout, they say it's nothing more than honoring the value of the contract, and McCaffrey said today in a teleconference that he has no regrets about the perceived secrecy of it, saying, I'm not hiding anything, I had a contract, and I still have one. Tonight after the show, we've got a pair of huge high school girls matchups on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We've got Class 4A top-ranked Marion hosting number 5 Center Point Urbana, and we've also got Class 5A second-ranked Cedar Falls traveling to number 9 Iowa City West. That'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we'll have the Iowa State men hosting number 22 Tennessee in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. We'll pick up coverage at 2 o'clock before they tip off at 3, also on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
All right, we are just hitting our stride, and it is only the halfway point. We got Ben Neiman and Rob Howe set to join us in the third and final hour. Scott Docterman, the Cedar Rapids. Scott did it to himself at the Pinstripe Bowl, and now I'm doing it. But Scott is with Atlanta10.com. Old habits die hard. He'll be with us at the bottom of the hour. He's the one who quote unquote broke the story that Fran McCaffrey says isn't a story today, and it sort of is, and it sort of isn't. It's a little bit of a gray area. He's going to be coming up with us next. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, more on the way.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse. You know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Call an agent today.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. An investigation by ESPN's Outside the Lines finds that Michigan State has been accused of mishandling allegations of sexual abuse by football and basketball players since 2009. ESPN's Jeremy Schapp on Outside the Lines.
This should be easy in the sense that it's not easy to contain sexual assault on campus. It's not easy to find predators. But once information is presented to you, you have statutory obligations. It should be easy to do the right thing.
Today, Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis retired in the wake of the Larry Nassar scandal. The entire USA Gymnastics Board of Directors will resign as requested by the U.S. Olympic Committee. The NCAA is now investigating the UConn men's basketball program, specifically recruiting by head coach Kevin Ollie and his staff. Cavaliers guard Dwayne Wade out for tonight's game against the Pacers, attending to a personal matter, and it appears Tiger Woods will make the cut on the number at 1 under par at Torrey Pines. Woods had to birdie his last hole of the day to get to 1 under.
Hey, it's the Gotch. Join us Monday. Chris Sims will join us to give us his 37th best quarterback in the NFL, and it's the week on the sports calendar that Dan Le Batard hates most. Super Bowl week! That's Monday in the Dan Le Batard Show with me, the Gotch, on ESPN Radio.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, a veteran, one who's known to perform under pressure. At Valvoline, we believe great performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why there's Valvoline Max Life. After 75,000 miles, use Valvoline Max Life to treat the hidden signs of aging and help extend the life of your engine. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit Advance Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life and a filter for $24.99. See store for restrictions and details.
So, Sarah, you know, one of the toughest things about being on tour is sleeping in a bunk area with a bunch of guys that all snore. I love my beauty sleep. A night of snoring puts me in such a bad mood in the morning.
Your beauty sleep. I love it. You know, I've been listening to ESPN Radio enough to know that you should have told the guys to get a Zipa. It's estimated that 90 million people in the U.S. snore, which means there's tens of millions of people like you on the tour bus that didn't get to sleep at night because they sleep next to a snorer. So if you want to stop snoring, you need to get a Zipa. Go to ZYPPAH.com. That's Zipa.com.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
Learning where your DNA comes from with 23andMe.com might just inspire you to explore your connection to the world, like Kate. 45% of Kate's DNA is from the British Isles, so she took a little bike trip through Scotland. And 10% of her DNA is from North Africa, so she paid a call to Morocco. Order a DNA kit with 23andMe.com today and let your 23 pairs of chromosomes show you another way to experience the world. Get over 75 reports on ancestry, health traits, and more at 23andMe.com.
5:35, welcome back. The Todd Brommelkamp Show continuing on all three frequencies to 7 o'clock tonight, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids. Remember, a $30 gift certificate to the Field House on the line between now and 7 o'clock tonight. We'll put that in your hands. And then coming up next week, we've got tickets to see Avenged Sevenfold at the U.S. Cellular Center. Very hard to get your hands on those tickets, I am told. But we've got some, and we'll give them away all next week. Former Hawkeye linebacker Ben Neiman is going to chat with us coming up in a few minutes to kick off hour number three. It'll be the big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. In here a little early to get situated with me as Alex gets ready to call an Iowa City West women's game tonight. It's Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. What's up, Rob? Just another week with not a whole lot to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a battle coming up here today. 380 was north is not good right now.
Not good?
No. So
I'm surprised.
It's a little public service for folks out there. If you're coming north on 380 from Iowa City,
we could record that and play it on a loop on a daily basis. A guy who I wanted to send him a cookie bouquet yesterday. He gave us something to talk about here in Sports Talk Radio. Scott Docterman from theland10.com with us to talk Hawkeyes and more. And Scott had the story of Fran McCaffrey's secret contract extension that was signed back in November. The man of the hour. Scott, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. And why? Why does Iowa do stuff like this, Scott?
Oh, if we could only have that answer. It didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, all they had to do was, when it was signed and they're ready to, they should have just released it. I mean, you're talking about one of the highest paid employees in the state of Iowa. The university, I know that the University of Iowa's athletics department is self-sustaining. However, they're connected to the University of Iowa, which makes them a government institution. All you have to do is, hey, there's been a two-year extension to Fran McCaffrey's contract. And you look at the salary isn't out of whack at all for somebody of his experience or, you know, what he's accomplished. But then, you know, you start to go down the page two and three and you start to see the buyouts and you go, wow, that's pretty high for a basketball coach. So you look at it a couple of ways and you just think, you know, why did the buyout change so radically? The year before it was $4.6 billion, now it's $10.2 billion. And then two, why didn't you just release it? Why didn't they just send it out? And I know I saw some of the statements, and that's pretty much all we're getting, you know, from Gary Barta about being ill at the time, and they had to delay the actual signing of the contract until late November. But that said, just send out a press release, you know, two-year extension, Fran McCaffrey. At that point, nobody even bats an eye. Now, you know, with the team struggling, then it becomes an issue, and that's certainly the case the last few days.
Hey, Scott, it's Rob. I echo what Todd said. Good job on getting that. And I don't know why you dug there. I hadn't heard anything about an extension. I don't know if you were just doing it to in case there was something there. But for me, as you said, the salary isn't out of whack. The two-year extension, when you think about recruiting and him needing those the extension on that and how that helps in recruiting – I don't get the buyouts. I don't get it with Ferentz, and I don't get it with McCaffrey. It make sense of if Gary were asked the question, why, what would his reasoning be? Because obviously, I know you've heard it. I've got fans all over my message board and people tweeting at me, why, what would Gary's reasoning be, and does it make sense?
I wish I could have that answer, especially in this one. I understand it a little bit with Ferentz, especially the one back in 2010, because he was coming off, you know, out of the previous eight seasons, four of which they were in the top 10. So you look at it, and this is a way to just end that speculation, that constant circus that we back in the last decade regarding Ferentz. And then, you know, the second one was a little bit wilder just because there'd been so much discussion about him. And his buyout in the years previous. But this one just doesn't make sense, and that's why I don't understand it. And I know, you know, there was a statement that was read today before his teleconference that he'd been sought after by other schools, and this was a chance to kind of lay this to rest. And I guess I just don't know. I mean, you know, what you're doing is you're locking him up to you and you to him, and Is there that much clamoring for Fran? And is this something that you really want to do, as we see that with this year? And I'm certainly not in the camp of, oh, we got, you know, they got to fire Fran. You know, I've never been that way. But I think, you know, you're almost doing a disservice to your university, because what happens if this is a bad year, which it appears to be, and next year is? That's when you start to wonder, okay, are you making the right move? Well, there's nothing they could do next year. That's $9 million, and after losing that, and settling out of court with Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaugh for $6.5 million, they've depleted just about all their reserves. So unless they're using more Big Ten Network money for that, which I know they don't want to, they have no other recourse but to ride this out, rightly or wrongly. It could very well all work out, but it's still perplexing.
Two guys signed off on this, Gary Barta and Bruce Harreld, who's the president of the university. Is this not, in essence, I mean, this is Barta putting his own job on the line there, right? Between the contract extensions for Kirk Ferentz, which have been a source of consternation among the fan base, and now this, where he's basically marrying his program to these coaches. This is Gary Barta going all in and basically putting his own job out there on the line, right?
Yeah, it is. And he had his own extension where, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I think through 2021 is when he's under contract too. So I think he's been given kind of carte blanche by the university president, Bruce Harrell, to do what he feels is right. But, you know, this is the third kind of major contract where you've seen these high buyout numbers. And I think that's what people are wondering what's going on, you know. And I mean, in Gary Barta's case, you know, in another year, if Fran has another bad year or struggles or whatever, you know, they may still want to keep him. But Gary probably puts himself out of a job, wouldn't you think, at this point? I mean, if they go to the NIT or less next year, you've got to really examine this. And you know, he's got to be beholden to the University of Iowa. And I don't know if this is the best contract for Iowa. Now, that said, Fran's, in my opinion, he's earned the right to have a bad year. This is not a good year, but he's had enough success to where I think he can, you know, this is okay. You get your mulligan, you get your pot hill year and move on. And then next thing you know, but if it's more than that, then you really have put this program behind the eight ball for a while.
It seemed like Gary was hitched to Fran anyway. He was going to, you know, his career was dependent on what Fran did after the Licklider hire, I think. I don't know if with this contract that he gave Fran, maybe he has more security than I thought. But I thought if Fran didn't succeed, Gary wouldn't be allowed to hire that third basketball coach. But maybe I'm off base on that. How does this compare around the Big Ten in the country, Scott? Have you looked at any other contracts? And I know some of the new guys like Holtman, Archie Miller, they got big buyouts, but they were taken away from other universities and were pretty hot commodities at the time. But I'm talking more about, you know, coaches that were being retained and maybe got extensions recently.
I think the Star Tribune had a story, maybe it was about a year ago, year and a half ago, on buyouts, and this would place McCaffrey probably in the upper third of the Big Ten for the holdouts. And as you mentioned, yeah, I mean, Holtzman and Miller, you know, they all, their buyouts are larger than this, but you know, they're newer coaches too, so that kind of tends to play into it. But you think back to when Todd Licklider was fired, you know, Iowa paid $2.4 million, you know, and that seemed kind of a lot, you know, in 2010. And then, you know, again, just a year ago, it would have been $4.6 million before this new contract. That was what this year was, $4.6 million and going down. But, you know, after this, it goes down to $9 million 1 year, and then I want to say, you know, $7.6 million or $7.7 million. I mean, it really does, it goes down, but not a lot each year. So, among Big Ten coaches, I would say it's certainly top half and more like top third. As far as the rest of the country goes, I don't know, but I know the Big Ten pays better than just about collectively more than any other conference. So I would say it's probably in the top quarter of college basketball coaches.
Scott Dochterman from thelandof10.com joining us. We'll switch gears from the Fran McCaffrey contract, which came to light yesterday due to your reporting, to general basketball here. The Hawkeyes picking up a victory their last time out against Wisconsin, and then a stretch here where they take on Nebraska and a reeling Minnesota team. Is this an opportunity for them to maybe gather a little bit of momentum? Not that it could take them very far the rest of the way, but a little momentum here for the back half of the Big Ten schedule.
Sure, absolutely it is. And I think it's a really good opportunity for them just to, you know, if nothing else, just to play basketball. You know, there's really nothing out there that you could say is something that, you know, they could point at it towards the end of the season. You know, the NCAA tournament, that's not going to happen. And the NIT, well, maybe, but you really got to push hard, and I'm not sure they're capable of doing that. But, you know, you're when you're playing neighbors and rivals, and, you know, that's, you know, Wisconsin the other day, or Nebraska tomorrow, and Minnesota next week. You know, you want to perform in those games. They matter to people. And going on the road to Nebraska, it's about pride. And I think, one thing that kind of surprised me the other day was just how well they did play. Granted, this was not the same Wisconsin team we're used to seeing over the last handful of years, or 20 years for that matter. But the way they dictated tempo, the way they defended, which was much better, granted, against one of the worst offenses in the country, but still they were able to defend at a capable level and rebound, and then they were able to move the ball effectively on offense and find open shots. And I think that showed you kind of what they could do last year without Peter Jock. So to me, I think that gives you a little bit of hope for this team. Now, Nebraska is much better than Wisconsin, and they've kind of employed, almost like Iowa State, that the transfers have really helped this program, because if you would have told me one team was going to be 6-4, the other was going to be 2-7 in Big Ten play at this point, I would have totally flipped it around here. But, you got James Palmer, from Miami. Oh, my gosh. Here he is, 16.7 points a game, had 34 points against Ohio State. He's just terrific guard, and I don't know how Iowa's going to defend him, but I do think if Iowa could, play a good, competent game and potentially win, and then beat Minnesota at home, I think it ends some of the negativity that's been associated with this program, and the way they played and earned over, the first half of the Big Ten season.
For entertainment purposes only, Nebraska is a 6.5-point favorite tomorrow night, for those that we're wondering. So I think people I've talked to are like, look at this as a winnable game for Iowa, but it's going to be a hard game. Nebraska beat Michigan at home. They won at Rutgers the other night, which isn't Rutgers isn't a pushover like they used to be. My question would be, and I'm more interested kind of just in your observation and what you've heard. I know, I try to look at this stuff and it's hard to quantify, but what do you feel about the chemistry on this team, Scott? Do you feel like, especially the connection with Coach Fran, did you feel like, and losing's always tough, but do you feel like they're on the same page, that everybody's going in the same direction?
I don't think so. It doesn't appear to be that way. I mean, they played a good game the other day, but there just seems to be a lot of confusion, not a lot of chemistry at all. Tyler Cook's had a really good year and statistically, but a lot of times it looks like he's more into it for himself. He doesn't pass out of the post very often. Jordan Bohannon has just had a ton of pressure put upon him because they have really inconsistency out of the two guard. They don't really work together in the offense, and we've seen that in years past. I would say 2 years and beyond, it was, they really played well. I mean, Mike Gesell didn't score at the level that people expected him to or wanted him to, but he really got him into that offense, and they had really good ball movement and the motion. This one doesn't have very much at all. And, even last year, sure, they forced the ball to Jock a lot, but the opponents had to account for him. So that allowed the spacing to be so much better on the floor. But I just don't see that here. I don't see a lot of trust when it comes to defense at all. I mean, they're having trouble stopping the ball. I actually had a conversation with Dan Dockich about that and wrote about it. Just, they're really bad on ball screens. And then once they, whiff on that, that forces other people to help. And then it leaves people open. And then, boom, that's why we've seen so many three-pointers or open threes against them. So I don't see a lot of cohesion. I think when they start to, bring in reserves, then the reserves kind of struggle to get in the flow. So, whether that's an indictment of Fran, how they work together, I don't know. But it just, you could tell it's disjointed and, by and large. And they're going to be tested the next few games because these are, maybe difficult games, certainly at Nebraska. But it's a game where I think Iowa, if it played at its high level, could contend in. So we'll see if they've, grown any, I guess, from the Wisconsin game onward.
We'll leave on this. I think we all agree that there's a deficit when it comes to leadership, but are we seeing the emergence of a possible leader in the future in Luka Garza these last couple games? It just seems like he's sort of tried to take a big step forward, even though he's a freshman, to try to lead this team through the back half of the schedule.
Without a doubt, yeah. I mean, you know, this team, and you know, and Rob could certainly speak to this, all the missed recruits they've had over the last few years, and you have one senior, you have a couple of redshirt juniors, but really none of them are leadership types. Maybe Bear is, but the way Luka Garza has played and kind of brought this team on his, you know, on its back at times, you know, even the Purdue game, he was the only one that was really excelling, and, you know, he gets a bloody nose and he goes back out there, and, you know, in a last game he had 17 points and 16 boards. I mean, he's just been really impressive, and that everybody kind of feeds off that. So I think he's got a chance to really, you know, solidify that role going forward, because, you know, and Jordan Bohannon does, but he's not the most vocal guy. I think he brings on court leadership, but, you know, you know, a couple other players that are sophomores you'd like to see a little bit more from, and that's, you know, Tyler Cook, you know, who is a phenomenal talent, but just hasn't kind of brought everybody together. And then, you know, I think Cordell Pemsel has those abilities, but, you know, he's kind of struggled this year to somewhat, and I wonder if that's stemming from his off-season surgery. So, but definitely, Luka Garza has been terrific, and really looks like he's going to be an on-court leader, and, you know, vocally and just in his play in the coming future.
Scott Docterman from theland10.com. We appreciate our chats as always. We'll touch base with you down the road.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Rob, I think we're going to get into this a little bit more in on the back half of the third and final hour, but the McCaffrey contract situation that Scott brought to light yesterday is bizarre. And then the statement that they read today before the teleconference, I think equally is bizarre, because then you open up the can of worms about he's had chances to leave, but he's still here. That just makes me want to sniff around even more, right? You know, what were those chances? When were those chances?
Yeah, when Matt...
Why say that?
I got on the teleconference today, obviously, thinking, okay, maybe Fran will speak to this and just say, you know, Gary was sick, we were in the season, we didn't want to distract from the season, whatever, however you wanted to handle it. But you could tell from that statement today that they were trying to do some damage control by saying that Fran doesn't talk about his contract. That's why it wasn't put out there. As you said, he had opportunities to go other places. So it's almost saying to the fans, hey, we got to keep this guy. We could have lost him, but we got to keep him. You know, it was a damage control statement. And then Fran was very terse with Mark Emmert, who asked him about if he felt like he was, you know, their perception was out there that he was hiding something, that they waited 2 months to put this out. And the only reason it came out is because Scott filed the FOIA and got it out there. It just, to not having transparency in this situation is just a bad look. And they've done this stuff before, and I don't know why they continue to do it and bring themselves bad publicity.
5:54, we'll step aside, take a quick break. We come back, Kyle's going to get you a big board update, and then it is on to hour number three, the big hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We're going to chat with former Hawkeye linebacker Ben Neiman tonight. Back with more after this.
One of the best and least expensive ways to protect your home and family from a potential fire hazard is with properly installed and maintained smoke alarms. And Landon is here from Menards with some tips for proper use of smoke alarms. What are some of the important things we need to know, Landon?
One of the most important things is to have a smoke alarm in key areas on every level of your home. Some of the most important locations are in or just outside of bedrooms, hallways, and at the top and bottom of stairs.
Besides location, what else should we know about smoke alarms?
It's important to test your smoke alarms on a regular basis to make sure that they're working properly. It's also a good idea to gently vacuum them every month or so to prevent dirt particles from blocking the smoke alarm sensor.
Any other tips on smoke alarm safety?
It's important that everyone in the house knows what the smoke alarm sounds like. And even if a smoke alarm has been working properly, it's a good idea to replace it with a new one at least every 10 years.
Thanks, Landon. If you have any other questions, stop into your local Menards and talk to a friendly team member.
Save big money at Menards. There's a whole lot happening at Mulligan's Pub in Cedar Rapids. Tomorrow, it's their big chili cook-off. Cook up a batch of your famous chili and bring it to Mulligan's. Sign up start at 11:30 and tasting begins at noon. Prizes will be awarded to the top three vote-getters. Mulligan's is also gearing up for their second anniversary, so plan to come celebrate during their customer appreciation party on February 3rd. They'll have $2 You Call It all day long. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
We mentioned mentality with Mark Lillibridge yesterday at Mulligan's Pub and had a good time during the road trip. Mark told you all about mentality and the website lowtusa.com. If you're a man over the age of 40 or nearing 40 who feels you may be suffering from the effects of low testosterone, one of the things that Mentality specializes in is testosterone replacement therapy, TRT. You can learn more about it by checking out their website or scheduling an appointment with them at their North Liberty Clinic. As a matter of fact, Mark says many of you have already taken advantage of the opportunity to do so, and we're very thankful for that. LowTUSA.com is the website to go to. Frequently asked questions, you can learn anything that you need to before you even go and speak with one of their doctors. Mentality, visit them today, lowtusa.com. Welcome back in, 557, Todd Brommelkamp Show, continuing on all three KGYM frequencies with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Here's Kyle.
The Hawkeye women put an end to their three-game skid in a pretty big way last night, upsetting number 12 Ohio State 103-89. The Buckeyes came in as the Big Ten's highest-ranked team, but the Hawkeyes controlled the game from start to finish. Megan Gustafson led with a game-high 29 points. Kathleen Doyle had 25 with 11 assists. Chase Coley had 12 points and 11 rebounds. And Mackenzie Meyer had 18 points on 4 of 6 from distance in her second game back from a hand injury. The University of Iowa Sports Information released a statement this morning regarding Fran McCaffrey's extension, calling it fair and equitable to the marketplace, and also mentioning that McCaffrey has had multiple opportunities to leave, but made it clear that he wants to stay. Regarding the buyout, they say it's nothing more than honoring the value of the contract. McCaffrey also said in a teleconference that he's got no regrets about the perceived secrecy of it, saying, "I'm not hiding anything. I had a contract. I still have one." Tonight after the show, we've got a pair of big-time high school girls matchups. On 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym, we've got Class 4A top-ranked Marion hosting number 5 Center Point Urbana, and we've also got Class 5A second-ranked Cedar Falls traveling to number 9 Iowa City West, and that'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we'll have the Iowa State men hosting number 22 Tennessee in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. We'll pick up coverage at 2 o'clock before they tip off at 3, also on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
If you hate Tony Romo as a football analyst, and some of you actually do, I think he does a good job, then you're not going to like this, especially if you're also a golf fan. But there are rumblings that Jim Nance and Tony Romo could keep their bromance going together on the CBS golf broadcast team. You see Romo broadcasting golf, bringing the same enthusiasm to the game of golf that he does to the Sunday football booth?
I hope that works the same way. Golf.
It probably wouldn't. Probably wouldn't translate.
No.
But we'll see. I thought he was a natural, but what do I know about broadcasting? No, literally, what do I know about broadcasting? I do know that the big hour with Hawkeye Title and Settlement is coming up next. We got Ben Neiman on the line ready to join us. Stick around. Back after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM.